And what I'd like to do now is transition by introducing to you our next speaker, Brian Brigham. He joined us in Angus Genetics, Inc. and the American Angus Association this May, full-time at the association. Brian comes from Colorado as his roots. He did his undergraduate and graduate training at Colorado State. We're really excited to have Brian as the Genetic Systems Director at the association because it adds a suite of skills in terms of analyzing difficult-to-measure traits, whether it be working in docility or calving ease, or today what Brian will share with you in terms of lifetime productivity and longevity. So please join me in welcoming Brian, and he has some good information for you.
Thank you, ma'am. Well, I don't know if they could have set it up for me much better, because we've spent most of the morning going over how important reproduction is and how it's the one tool we're missing in the American Angus Evaluation EPD suite. How do we effectively, look at that cow's whole life and how she's produced? It's not a novel concept to livestock or beef in general. Some of you may have seen this story on the national news. These two monkeys are actually, they're about a year apart in age. And you can see how the one on the right and the one on the left, they're different, look quite differently because of their different aged. And it was supposed to be the silver bullet to the fountain of youth that these animals were fed different diets. The one on the right was fed a restricted diet, while the one on the left was just fed a normal diet. And when this study initially came out, everybody said, we found the silver bullet. You eat right, you live right, and, you'll look like this vibrant young monkey on the right. Well, about a month later, they analyzed all the data, and they got a little ahead of themselves, and it turns out that they had a nice little example in these two monkeys, but it didn't really hold. Nutrition wasn't the answer. So for me, that was great news, because if nutrition's not the answer and environment wasn't the answer because they were all raised together, it's got to be genetic. If it's genetic, we can measure it and we can select on it. So to put it back into cow terms, what we want to do, what we need to do, we need to take this heifer calf and get her to gracefully age and mature into this mature cow, all the while producing a calf every year. Sounds pretty simple, right? Well, there's some problems in the analysis of that type of data and getting that type of data, as we've seen through the survey reports, that it's hard data to get. Coming from academia, I spent 8 years at CSU, I got pretty accustomed to when you put a presentation together, you put a long introduction in there and you really justify why you're, why am I up here, why am I speaking. And I got to thinking when I was doing this one, I don't really need to justify it to you guys, because you guys know that cow fertility and longevity is extremely important because, you feel in your pocketbooks when she leaves early. So I'm going to just go ahead and kind of skip the introduction and say we know that fertility and longevity has the greatest impact on production, or production and profitability. Brings us to this question of, do we need another EPD? You hear a lot of, we've got so many. There's 17 EPD in the American Angus login right now, along with our dollar value indexes. So you can see we do a really good job of evaluating all the different weight traits and some of those calving ease direct and some of the heights. But if we look at the maternal side, we've got an idea of maternal growth via milk, weaning weight maternal. We've got that calving ease maternal and the heifer pregnancy piece, but we've got no direct evaluation of cow longevity. And we've heard this morning how important efficiency is in long-term productivity of the cow herd. So we embarked on this project about a year ago now. It started the development process, and we're nearing release probably within the next couple of months. A quick little overview of what we did, or what our goals were when we started this project, were obviously to produce a prediction of long-term productivity. We wanted to utilize existing calving and disposal data we have. It's not perfect and it's not huge, but it's definitely something we don't want to give up, and encourage the collection of new data through the new Maternal Plus program. And then obviously reported in something easy to understand and easy to use, so it can just be adopted into part of your normal selection practices. So what is productive life? We've heard a lot about it. We've heard a lot about efficiency this morning. Well, what's the economically relevant trait? What makes us the money? A productive cow that breeds every year and maintains structure and conformation. Or as Dr. Strobing put it, she breeds on time every time. Some of you may have other cows besides Angus, and you may be familiar with some of the other long-term productivity EPD out there. Basically, you have, in beef, it's all just stayability. So the Red Angus Association, the American Simmental Association, Limousine and Gelby, they all have a stayability EPD, which we'll talk about here in a little bit more detail. And then if you ever look or are familiar with the dairy breeds, they have a length of productive life or daughter productivity EPD. What data do we need to make this EPD? Well, worst case scenario, we can use calving records. Not ideal, but we can use them. And it's pretty simple here. You see, you take her, the first calving record we have to her, and well, then we look down the road, and what's the last calving record we have of her, and that was her productive life. Not ideal, but we can use it. A better way to do it would be to use these disposal codes we've talked so much about this morning. And this Maternal Plus program was designed and ideally suited for a trait just like this. If we can get disposal code data, we can go from just assuming that when she had that last calf, she left, to actually having a date and a reason why she left. And it's another variable we can account for in our evaluation. When we don't have accurate disposal code data, we err on the side of caution, so we back up to that calving date. So if we don't know, well, we play it safe and just say that when she had her last calf, that must have been the day she left. As I spoke of earlier, stayability versus length of productive life. Stayability has been around since the early 90s. It's the probability a cow will remain in the herd 6 years of age. Problem with it is, well, when you ask a cow to stay in the herd 6 years of age, it means the bull is going to be eight before he gets any real accuracy. It's a threshold nature, so it's a simple yes-no question. What we propose is our new trait will be, you know, basically semi-continuous data where we have those different dates, so we have a timeline instead of just a yes, she lasted to six, no, she didn't. We can have a she lived a 51 months, 72 months. We can actually have a semi-continuous type of data structure that allows us to analyze it in a lot better way. The reason why stayability was chose to be 6 years of age was that was a benchmark defined back in the early 90s, which may not still be valid today. In a length of productive life EPD, we wouldn't have to set a certain benchmark because of that semi-continuous data. There's no allowance for females yet to reach the benchmark in stayability. In length of productive life, we can use these early records. There's word up there censoring. We'll get into that in detail too. But basically, we can use data through her whole life. So the day she's born to the day we have that disposal code, we can start to give her a pretty good EPD. So as I said, first EPD was released in 1993. Sires are eight before they get any accuracy. And there's been a lot of research that looks at, you know, as time goes on, what's the relationship to stayability to 3, 4, 5, and 6? And what's really important in this graph is that upper block where you see that the relationship of early ages to later ages is quite high. I mean, if a cow lasts to 4 years of age, there's an 85% chance she's going to make it to 5. And if she makes it to 5, there's a 70% chance she's going to make it to 6. So using that stayability method, they're leaving a lot of data on the table and a lot of information by keeping that 6-year benchmark. We were trying to avoid staying with that semi-continuous data of length of months of productive life. There was a point back there on a slide I kind of brushed over. It says survival models. Currently, no beef breeds use survival models. They're complex. They're difficult to sort through just because of this data structure and figuring out, well, why did she leave, when did she leave, and that sort of stuff. And heritability is low. So most breeds have kind of punted on the difficult part and just stuck with that stayability mentality. If we look at dairy evaluations, it's quite prominent there where they have very complete records. Every milking, every calf is well reported. So they've gone the method of these survival models, which we hope with the Maternal Plus program and the data we already have in-house can feed really nicely right into these. Censoring. I mentioned this word earlier. And all I mean by censoring is partial credit. So if a cow is 2 years old and she's had her first calf, we know she's still producing. If a cow is 7 year old and she's still producing, she still gets a record, but we don't use that. It's not a complete record yet. It's partial credit. Disposal codes allow us to know when end of her life has been reached, so we can give her full credit for her whole life observation. And censoring also allows us, because there's going to be cows that they fail for non-productive reasons. If cow's really good, so you want to move her into your ET herd, well, we don't want to say that her life's over. We want to say that she's just kind of in this separate little contemporary group where she's going to continue to receive partial credit and also get credit for other animals that are in her group. And that is, Sally did that perfect example of weather. If it's been a pretty bad drought the last few years. So if you've had to cull cows because of weather, well, she wasn't necessarily non-productive. You were just out of options. You had to get rid of her. We don't want to hold that against the cow. So using this censoring or these partial credit observations, we can actually account for those types of natural things and give these cows partial credit and not ding them too hard. What affects a cow productive lifespan? Obviously, pregnancy status is the big one. We want to identify those animals that are more fertile. That's the overreaching goal, as we've said before, that on time, every time. Structure, disposition, those type of things are, they're more producer dependent. Everybody's got their ideal structure, their ideal disposition, but again, it affects why you cull cows. If we look into a little bit deeper level of these models, these survival models I've spoken about, we start building curves and graphs and things like this of survival analysis and, what's the probability she's going to last another day, what's the chance she's going to last another year, and those types of things. And they get pretty complex and, quite boring to talk about. So I started thinking, what's a better way we could present this? Really, it's no different than how your insurance premiums are calculated. Every driver is at risk of getting in an accident every time they're behind the wheel. It might be a little bit different based on where you live, how old you are. A 17-year-old driver might drive a little bit more reckless than a 55-year-old driver. Activities while you're driving, those of us that text while we drive or talk on the phone while we drive, we're probably a little higher risk than somebody that doesn't. So this all leads to difference of insurance rates. So people like this that live in downtown LA and drive traffic like that every day, they're probably at a little higher risk of getting in an accident versus somebody that drives that road every day. And that's all we're really talking about with length of productive life is what is that cow's risk of failing the next month? These cows out here that are on lush green pasture, they're in a pretty low-risk environment. They've got groceries. They're going to maintain condition. But if we look at this one cow out in a drought-stricken pasture that she's got to really work to get enough food in her to maintain her condition, and we all know that reproduction is the first thing to go. So that's a much more high-risk environment. If we look at the actual data of length of productive life. Okay, is that better? So if we look at the actual data in the American Angus Association database for length of productive life, we can see it follows this real predictable cyclic nature. And actually it works out quite perfectly that these every one of those little red dots up there, they correlate to some working or some event that you all do and cull cows for, whether it be she didn't calve, she came up open right there, or she didn't rebreed right there at, was that 32 months, or 40 months, she didn't wean a calf. All these events we see in the actual data match perfectly with what we would expect in production. And we can also see that as time goes by, obviously we have fewer and fewer cows in production. So by the time they get out there to about 172 days of age, or months of age, there's not very many cows left. For those of you who might have problems sleeping at night and have actually read your beef improvement guidelines, in there they identify four major hurdles to longevity evaluations. The first hurdle is, well, how do we measure it? What are the endpoints? What's the interval? The method we've taken here is it's the time between the first calf or last calf, or the time between our first calf and that disposal information you're all going to give us when you sign up for Maternal Plus. The second point they make is how will the record be treated if the animal leaves the herd for a non-reproductive reason? Those cows that got culled because of the drought. If we get accurate disposal codes, if we know about those cows, if we know why the animal got culled, we can account for that, and we can censor those observations so she's not unfairly dinged. Third would be, how do we treat an animal that's in production still? As I said earlier, we censor those animals. They get partial credit until we either get that last calf or we get that disposal code. And then they'll talk about how the distribution is heavily skewed. Well, that's where Sally and I come in, and that's our job is to fit these proper statistical models to account for those skewed distributions and still make the EPD meaningful and useful. To calculate heritability in this project, we used AAA data from 1990 to present. There's about 600,000 records used here. Heritability was 10%, and although 10% is it's a low heritable trait, but that's just a function of fertility. It's in the range of, well, other estimates in other breeds and Angus breeds in other studies, and it's our heifer pregnancy EPD that we already publish and use in the same range. How will the EPD look when we get through through our final checks and once we release it? It's going to be expressed in months, so you'll have, you know, bull A and bull B. Bull A may be a plus 9, and bull B may be a negative 3.5 months. So you can take the difference between those and see that daughters out of bull A are going to last about 12 months longer, 12 and a half months longer. Or you can look at that as they're going to last one more year, so they're going to get me one more calf. Accuracy is always a big deal when we get into lowly heritable traits like this. This is an actual graph of the accuracy, sire accuracy based on their number of daughters. So you can see, you know, as a sire gets more and more daughters, his accuracy gets higher and higher, as we would expect. You know, most sires are going to probably be down in that 0 to 100 range. So we're looking at about a 0.45 to 0.5 accuracy on most of those non-AI, non-highly used sires. And here it is broken down a little bit finer, a little bit easy to read. Number of daughters by maximum or average accuracy we saw. So we're gonna be lower accuracy, function of the heritability, but still gonna be quite usable. Again, some challenges of these lowly heritable traits. Reproduction is always gonna be lowly heritable. As we showed with the monkeys at the beginning, there is no silver bullet to longevity or to lifetime productivity. So we just have to work with that heritability and do what we can. Genetic progress can be slow in these lowly heritable traits, which means each one of our selection decisions is that much more important. Average generation time in cows is 4 to 6 years. So if we make one bad decision, we might be stuck with that cow for 4 to 6 years. So we got to give careful consideration to our selection criteria and our goals for these kind of traits. If we all remember back to our animal breeding 101 class, there's that equation for how do we calculate genetic progress, and it has those four points in it: genetic generation interval, accuracy, intensity, and genetic variance. Generation interval, we can decrease that a little bit by, you know, using younger animals. Our youngest animals should be our best genetics if we've made the right selection decisions in the previous generation. We can choose to use higher accuracy bulls via AI and get a little bit more genetic progress, bumping up that accuracy portion. We can be a little bit more intense. We can only save those very, very best heifers into our herd and get a little more progress out of that. And then there's the genetic variance piece that's just trait specific, and we can't really change. So some conclusions of what we've developed and what we've been through. There is genetic variance in length of productive life in Angus cattle. We've looked at it. We've got the EPD pretty well done, and we're going to go forward with it. We have some data. Maternal Plus will only add more data to this prediction. So as time goes by and more folks enroll in this Maternal Plus and add disposal codes and add those complete records, we can really start to progress in this area. We've also heard a lot about indexing throughout the day today. And we have the possibility to start looking at, you know, maybe developing some kind of female productivity index where we take, length of productive life, we take heifer pregnancy, we take some of our other maternal traits, we can package that up into a maternal productivity index to not only add accuracy, but also to add a little power to that prediction. And then to kind of segue into the afternoon program, obviously genomic opportunities. We're in the age of genomics, and genomics add a lot to possibilities to lowly heritable traits. So that's definitely something we're going to be looking into in the future.